your bulletin, you'll find an insert for sermon notes. Feel free to take that out. A young man and his wife had just sent grandfather home late on Christmas Eve when the young man heard a traffic emergency reported on the news. A reckless driver was going south on the northbound highway, and he called his grandfather's cell phone immediately to warn him of the danger. "Grandfather, grandfather, be careful. I just heard on the news someone's going the wrong way on the highway." To which grandfather replied, "Oh, grandson, I'm scared to death. It's not just one car going the wrong way, but all of them." I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming hysterically like the passengers in his car. Have you ever stepped back and looked at your life, asking yourself, "Am I going the right direction? Or am I in a course of self-destruction?" Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 7, 13 to 23. In our passage today, Jesus is coming close to finishing up his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been speaking about living in the kingdom. He's been telling his disciples and us what our hearts and lives should look like if we're kingdom-centered. The question surely arose in the minds of the disciples, and it arises in our minds as well. How can we really be sure we're going the right direction in life? How can we be sure we're going the kingdom way? In Matthew 7, 13 to 23, we see there are three things that we need to do to make sure that we are living the kingdom way. The first thing we need to do is walk the narrow way. In verses 13 to 14, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." These two verses clearly lay out an important truth. There are only two ways to go in life. There is the gate and road that leads to destruction, and there is the gate and road that leads to life. And Jesus here commands us to take the narrow gate and the narrow road. Jesus uses two different Greek words that are translated into English as narrow. The first word, enter through the narrow gate, refers to a small space through which a large crowd would not be able to pass. The second word, narrow is the road that leads to life, carries with it the idea of hardship, oppression, persecution. There's a story about a pirate who had a wooden leg and a hook on one arm and a patch over one eye. Someone asked him how these things happened. And he said that a whale bit off his leg, a crocodile chewed off his hand, and a bird dropping hit him in the eye. The guy replied that he understood about the wooden leg, how having had his original one bitten off by a whale, he would need a wooden one. And he understood how the hook was there to replace the hand that the crocodile had chewed off. That made perfect sense. But the patch over an eye just because of a bird dropping? Well, he asked the pirate about it, and the pirate said, "When the bird dropping hit me in the eye, that was my first day with the hook." Yeah, pirates are nonconformists, and they do sometimes deal with a bit of adversity. But Jesus here is talking about going the lonely road and dealing with hardship because of the commitment to the kingdom of God, not because of a career choice. We know two things then about the way that leads to life. First, the gate that leads to life is narrow in a sense that not many people go through it. Second, the road to life is difficult. It is wrought with hardship. The gate to destruction is wide. The wide gate is more inviting, more spacious. Plenty of room for the crowds and all their baggage. The gate to destruction is the one through which most people enter. Jesus is quite clear. So the key question then is this: are you committed to walking through the narrow gate? Have you decided that life is all about pleasing Jesus and not other people? Are you okay with the idea that you are just not going to be going along with the crowd? A Christian's not going to fit in. Why not? A follower of Christ has different values. One who follows Jesus is not going to have the same passions that the world has. The kingdom road that leads to life is narrow, and not many people are choosing it. And consider the second word that is translated as narrow in verse 14. Jesus is teaching us that the kingdom way is also a way of difficulties. It is a way of persecution and oppression. It's a way of hardship. The kingdom way is not an easy way. It is the way of life, yes. But it is not always comfortable. So the key question is this: have you decided that comfort is not your top priority in life? Do we recognize that following Jesus is not easy? Have you given your life to Him anyway? Have you decided to follow Jesus no matter what the cost, no matter what kind of difficulties it might bring in life? Consider a few other verses which confirm this truth. In Acts 14:21, Luke writes, "They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples, and then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith." And listen to this: we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Did you hear it? He writes that they encouraged the followers of Jesus to remain true to the faith. And they did this by saying, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Or consider Jesus' words in Matthew 5:10-12. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Following Jesus is not comfortable. It's not easy. The road to life is not trouble-free. For the Christian, hardship and trouble is not the goal. You know, the roads are not an end in themselves. One road leads to life and one road leads to destruction. The road to life is full of trouble, but it is the road to life. Following Jesus and living the kingdom way leads to life. Not following Jesus leads to destruction. Eternal life or eternal destruction. Either you're following Jesus or you're not. Which road are you on? So in a nutshell, be prepared to ditch the crowds and have trouble if you want to be going the right way. walk the narrow way. And as we move on in our passages, we'll see the next thing that we need to do to make sure we are really going the kingdom way is this. Avoid the lies. In verses 15 to 20, Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them." So Jesus says, watch out. Watch out for false prophets. So who are these false prophets and what is their message? Apparently these false prophets look good on the outside, for they are in sheep's clothing. But their hearts are bent on destruction. Jesus calls them ferocious wolves. I hear that years ago, Bradley, the automotive division of Thor Corporation, had this fiberglass body that fit perfectly onto a VW Bug chassis. The body was very modern in style and design, giving the impression that it was an expensive sports car. So you could plop this thing on top of a VW. On the outside, it looked expensive and showy and modern. But on the inside, it was, well, just a VW Bug. Looks can be deceiving. False prophets are those who confess to be Christians but who lead us astray from going the kingdom way. What is the common message of false prophets in Scripture? Peace and safety, they say. Ah, you don't need to go through any hardships as a Christian. Ah, come on, the road to life is narrow. It's not narrow. It's easy. Follow the crowd, they say. Jesus says in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." The message of false prophets ultimately boils down to this: live for the pleasures of this world and not for the kingdom of God. Watch out, Jesus says. You can't love both this world and the kingdom of God. Notice as well that it is not too difficult to tell who are the false prophets. That is, if you're patient. People like trees, Jesus says. A good tree will produce good fruit, and a bad tree will produce bad fruit. We might immediately think of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in verse 24, Paul writes, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." A good tree is going to bear good fruit. One who belongs to Jesus Christ is one who has crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. One who belongs to Christ is one who has the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus, no doubt, was aware that there would be plenty of people in the church claiming to be devoted followers, but who are really only concerned about enjoying the pleasures of this world. Don't listen to them, Jesus says. Watch out. Avoid the lies. And lastly, as we continue through this passage, we'll see that if we want to go the kingdom way, we need to yearn for the relationship. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus has taught us to walk the narrow road, the road of hardship, and the road that the world is not taking. And he has taught us to avoid the lies that we can have the pleasures of this world and still go the kingdom way. And now Jesus is telling us that the kingdom way, he's telling us what it's all about and what it's not about. He tells us that just because we call him Lord doesn't mean we are kingdom people. What are kingdom people? What is the kingdom way? Jesus says that only those will enter the kingdom of heaven who do the will of his Father in heaven. And so our question then is, well, what's his will? Jesus continues in verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Can you imagine standing before God, the maker of heaven and earth, the majestic, glorious God, and saying, look at all I did. Look at me. Aren't I special? Let me in, God. Can you imagine? Does God want us to be people who do good deeds? Yes, of course. But is that going to get us into the kingdom of God? No way. Those who are in the kingdom of God live out these good deeds, but the good deeds are not kingdom life in themselves. Listen to what Jesus says. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I find it particularly interesting that these people have just finished announcing their good deeds, and what does Jesus call them but evildoers? We might remember that it says in Isaiah 64:6 that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So what in the world is God's will? The answer is found in Jesus' words. I never knew you. Do you see what God requires of us? Do you see what his will is for us? That we would know him. The kingdom way is to know Jesus. There was a young, ambitious man talking to his grandfather about his future plans. The young man said, I will learn my trade. And the grandfather asked, and then? And the young man said, I will set up a business. And the grandfather asked, and then? And the boy said, and then I will make my fortune. And the grandfather said, and then? And the boy said, I will retire and live on the money I've saved. The old man said, and then? The young boy said hesitantly, I suppose someday I will die. The grandfather looked the young man straight in the eye and said, and then? So what is your life all about? What is your ambition? According to Jesus, there is only one thing worth being ambitious for. Only one thing worth living for. And that is knowing him. In John 17:3, we find the definition of eternal life is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is life. Knowing Jesus is the kingdom way. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know that you've never chosen the kingdom way. You've never given your life to Jesus. If you haven't made the decision to follow Him, to go the kingdom way, do it. Do it today. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know that you chose the kingdom way long ago, but you've since lost your focus. You don't experience intimacy with Jesus. You know that you're not living for Him. There are other things in your life that have taken control, and you know that you need to get back on the kingdom way. Do it today. You know that deep down, you're going to be miserable until you turn your life over to Jesus. Whoever you are here this morning for a reason. God brought you here this morning because He wants you to choose the kingdom way. He's working in your heart. Don't ignore it. Life is not found elsewhere. Why wait? Why keep walking aimlessly through life, not knowing where you are going or why you are living? Choose life. Choose to know Jesus. This is the kingdom. Let's pray. Jesus, we believe You. You are the way. There is no other. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. And we believe You, Jesus, that You lived a righteous life for us. We believe that You died on the cross and gave Your life for us. You took the punishment for our sins. We want to know You. Forgive me. Come in my life. Take over. I want my life to be all about You. Change me. Change me, God. I want life, eternal life. I want the kingdom.